You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, we've got so much to talk about tonight, it's making me sick. I've literally got a headache because we've got so much ground to cover over the course of the next 3 hours. No guests, though. It's all going to be in-house talent. Myself, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller coming up later in the program, Scoop Stanton, and we're going to hear from Winston Smith via the spoken word. He wrote an article for our website earlier this week. We're going to be covering elements of that later on in the broadcast. Themes tonight: the media's treatment of Donald Trump. We're going to continue with that. They have, creatively linked him to the political cesspool. We're also going to talk about the Democratic Party. The Democratic National Committee has officially put a plank into its party's platform that pledges its support to a hate group. That's coming up. And then in the third hour, we're going to talk about...
It's okay because it's a left-wing hate group.
That's right, and a non-white one. And then in the third hour, Eddie and I are going to sink our teeth into a story that originates from Eddie's home state of Kentucky. We'll see if you can figure that one out. But first, let's talk about this link to Donald Trump. The media really has been just absolutely wetting its pants with hysterical reaction to Donald Trump's surging candidacy. And I want you to think about this, coming from the media's point of view. A journalist, a reporter, their job is not to present the facts of the story. Their job is to be the enforcers of political correctness. Who, what, where, when, and why, objectivity, none of that matters anymore. You know that. Old-fashioned journalism is a thing of the old-fashioned past. They've spent decades now attempting to brainwash people with a constant inundation of unnatural ideas. And they're finding now that their best efforts have resulted in what appears to be a colossal failure. We talk all the time. People fundamentally agree. Real Americans, working class Americans, red state Americans, middle Americans, they agree with us.
And they're reacting like the Wizard of Oz when Dorothy looks around the screen and sees the little man working the controls. They're really upset that they cannot, as they term it, control the conversation. They have to control the conversation. They're not controlling this one, and you can see them. They're trying not to show, not to let us see them sweat, but they are sweating profusely.
Well, that's right, Keith, because as I said, for decades now, every article in every newspaper, every magazine piece, every segment on television, save some Fox News segments, you know, they've all advanced what we call the narrative. All right, so all that.
The left-wing narrative,
right,
in other words.
But Trump has circumvented that, risen to the top of the GOP polls for simply stating that he will enforce our immigration laws, and by showing he's a man who won't cower to political correctness. By just doing that, which is the political equivalent of throwing out just a little bit of red meat to the starving base of the Republican Party, who's absolutely just set aside by the party's elites, he has firmly positioned himself as the front runner. So, as the media continues to watch its grip slipping away over the hearts and minds of the people, they have become desperate to paint Donald Trump as a racist.
Let me just say this, James. It's like the child that told the emperor that he had no clothes. By saying that you can just enforce the law and stop illegal immigration, he has said the unspeakable word. He has let people know that really we've been told for decades now that there's nothing that we can do, nothing to be done about illegal immigration. You can't do this. You can't do that. But he's telling you that the solution is incredibly simple. All you have to do, you don't have to launch a legislative initiative or win an election. Basically, all that our government needs to do is the executive, which is the president, needs to do what the Constitution says he should do and enforce laws enacted by Congress. We have those laws on the books. They have not been repealed. And if they were enforced, as Dwight Eisenhower did back in the 50s with Operation Wetback, this whole problem could be solved in several months. But, and Donald Trump is telling the American public this, implying that to them, and I mean, the left is can barely control its panic at this little sliver of truth invading their controlled and contrived conversation on the issue of immigration.
What they thought, I'm assuming, is that the people who've been subjected to their lies and their bias for all of these decades now would at least somewhat be afraid to come out and support a guy who's talking explicitly about these things in the way that Trump is. But they're going back to the same old worn-out card they always play. They're desperate. Trump's a racist. Everybody who supports him is a racist. And if you don't believe that, here's the proof. People like the host of the Political Cesspool are supporting Trump. So this appeared on the Daily Beast, which is one of the
far-left news, supposedly.
But it's widely read by those in positions of power. So it is, it is what you say, Keith, but it is prestigious in the perverted sense.
It is prestigious in the rarefied atmosphere on Mount Olympus where our liberal elites live. The rest of America couldn't give a damn about it. But quite frankly, the idea that who reads the Huffington Post, who reads the Daily Beast, who reads Little Green Football, or Rotten Tomatoes, or these other left-wing blogs, hardly anybody, but they wield supposed power because the Solons of American society, like the editors of the New York Times and things like this, think they're important. They're barometers of nothing. They're 0.1% of Americans would agree with the Daily Beast, but
nonetheless, we're talking about it tonight.
Well, we're talking about it because, see, this is what is panicking the left. They have been in this constant process of trying to psychologically condition the American public to be liberal, and what Trump is showing, ultimately, bottom line, is that their psychological conditioning project has not worked. People are still instinctively conservative, not liberal, and whenever they something that to the left is self-evidently beyond the pale makes perfect sense to most of the American public. And that is really alarming the left. That's what Trump is about in final analysis, if you ask me.
Well, here's what they had to say in the Daily Beast. And when we come back, I'll answer this charge, and we'll talk a little more about it. Then we're going to get into the voting demographics that could propel Trump to the nomination. But the Daily Beast writes, last week, white nationalist radio host James Edwards, a man who has warned against interracial marriage, called slavery the greatest thing to ever happen to blacks, and featured a roster of white supremacists on his show, publicly endorsed Trump. Now, just imagine the article continued, and I'm going to answer each one of those things. That's about 15 pejoratives in three sentences. Now, just imagine if the media coverage, if RNC chair Rince Priebus held a press conference along with some of the GOP leadership in the House and Senate to denounce white nationalist groups supporting Trump. It would make headlines nationwide and send a clear message to all. I'm going to send a clear message to all right after this break in response to that attack. Stay tuned.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I know we've got some callers on the line. We're going to get to them right after this segment, so it'll be after the next commercial break if they don't mind holding, because I just want to work through this very quickly and let you know that a few reporters emailed me last week for comment, because apparently they listened to the show. We knew they listened to the show, right, Keith?
Absolutely.
And so they're listening to the show. They're probably listening right now. And they knew that we had said some kind things about Donald Trump.
But I know where the action is, which is at this show.
That's right. And with Dick, was that Dick Clark where the action is?
Well, it was back in the 60s they had Come On, Let Us Show You Where It's At, the name.
The Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
Yeah, right, that's
gonna,
right.
Never
yeah,
mind. We're all crap. All right, hang on. We're going to derail here. But anyway, so these reporters emailed me for comment. I didn't waste my time by granting them an interview. I don't have patience for nonsense from hypocrites, because how many of you want to bet your bottom dollar that the effeminate creeps who write these attack pieces against honest guys like me live in majority white neighborhoods themselves? You want to take any action on
probably
that?
Probably in a gated community.
All right, but anyway, Daily Beast was one of the people. There was actually a few articles that were written even without my involvement. Daily Beast 1, white nationalist radio show host James Edwards warns against interracial marriage, calls slavery the greatest thing to ever happen to blacks, features a roster of white supremacists. They didn't qualify any of these things, of course, but publicly endorses Trump. And he says, you know, wouldn't it be great if Rince Priebus, the chair of the Republican Party, stood up, had a press conference, and denounced James Edwards? You know, so first of all, my question is, am I supposed to be concerned about being denounced by a pathetic individual like Rince Priebus? Well, let me just tell you, I'm not. I'm not concerned about that at all. We were denounced earlier this year by members of the United States Congress, including Eddie's own congressman, and we consider that to be one of the greatest achievements of our career. I'd rather enjoy being denounced by the entire Republican establishment. In fact, let it just be said here and now that I'll lob the first volley and officially denounce them. And frankly, if you really want me to let my hair down, which is
impossible,
I couldn't care less if Donald Trump himself got on television tonight and denounced me and everybody I know. He can denounce me until the cows come home, just so long as he follows through on his pledge to build a wall and deport the illegal aliens. To me, that's all that matters.
We're not interested in trying to get a seat at the table. We're interested in the survival of America as a great first world nation. And first of all, let me just ask you this, James. What in the heck is a white nationalist? They're constantly claiming this show, you and I are white nationalists. I have never been in favor of, you know, having some all-white nation like in the Pacific Northwest or wherever. That's the only thing I can think of. You know, have we ever advocated, let's all move and have a white nation somewhere? Well, what are they talking about?
Well, here's the thing about white nationalists. I am white and I am a nationalist, but I don't refer to myself as a white nationalist in the sense that they use it, because these hack journalists seem incapable of making the elementary distinction between the words nationalist and supremacist. It's as if they don't want to. They use them interchangeably. But it is true that because of
being a nationalist become a bad thing. I thought that was called being a patriot.
Well, it's very similar. But, you know, and I do remind readers and listeners of this program that I have never once in the 11 years we've been doing this show referred to myself as such for that reason. But it doesn't matter anymore, because people are clearly seeing through these silly pejoratives. And for what it's worth, you know, I identify as a Southern conservative, as a Christian. If people want to ask me what my ideology is, I would say that.
But populist conservative.
You know, listen, I do believe, you know, we don't have to have a quote-unquote all-white nation. We just need to have the freedom to associate with whom we choose. And if we, you know, I was on CNN for an hour. When's the last time CNN dedicated an hour to a single topic on a its primetime show? Well, I was on one of those shows, and I advocated for self-segregation, for the freedom to choose. And I think if people are given the freedom to choose, you know, everything will come out in the wash.
It's called freedom of association, and it's guaranteed by the First Amendment.
There you go. Well, it should be. But I do want to address this head on, though. They quoted me as saying slavery is the greatest thing to ever happen to blacks. Now, I guess this is where lesser men would apologize and pretend that they didn't say that. Well, that's not the way we do business here. I did say it, I meant it, and I stand by it. Of course, though, now listen to me here closely, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't written in an offensive way. I mean, it was very nice of that writer to cherry-pick that particular quote and leave the context out. You know, that quote, I wrote that in 2008. So that guy, think about this guy. He has to be sitting here on his computer in his office, and he's looking through, and he had to go all the way back to 2008 to find a quote he could cherry pick out of context to use in this story. And people reading this would just say, oh, how horrible. He said slavery is a great thing. No, that's not the context. If you go to the article where he plucked this quote, it's easy to see, very clear to see, that what I was writing was blacks in America enjoy a better standard of living than that of their kinsmen in Africa. He also conveniently omits the fact that the quote about slavery being the greatest thing to ever happen to blacks, I was quoting a writer for the Jamaican Observer, a black writer for a Jamaican newspaper. He said it, I quoted it, and said, you know what? There's probably truth to that. So if you agree now, Keith, with a black journalist about something that's politically incorrect, then you are what?
A white nationalist or a white supremacist or an evil doer of, you know, unfathomable mendacity, I guess, is what you would say. Now, let me, while we're talking about being misquoted, I have been misquoted recently in the Southern Poverty Law Center as to saying that we have a saying in Memphis that blacks can't organize a two-car funeral. What I actually said was, there is a saying I've heard that blacks can't organize a two-car funeral. I said, that's wrong. I've seen them organize very large funerals. They obviously can do that, but I said they did not, and quite frankly, I can't think of any other group besides Jewish organized Jewish power and influence that could have organized the American Civil Rights Movement. But there is this myth that is part of the gospel of the American history now, that black people alone by themselves engineered, orchestrated, and put into effect the Civil Rights Movement. And I said that without Jewish smarts, Jewish money, Jewish organizational abilities, Jewish domination of the news networks, and communist backing, which again was Jewish backing for the most part, the whole thing wouldn't have amounted to a hill of beans. This idea that black people got together, linked arms, swayed back and forth, started singing spirituals, and the walls came tumbling down is just a fantasy.
Yeah, it wasn't an updated version of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. That
right, that's
the
it. 60s. And then the other thing that they had me saying was that, let me see, that thing about...
That two-thirds of all college students are Jewish.
Okay, well, no, I never said that. What I said was two-thirds of college students at America's most select and prestigious universities like Harvard and Yale are Jewish. And I stand by that. Numerous people, including Pat Buchanan, have made the same observation. The problem is those Jewish students get folded in with white Gentile students, and the rejoinder to people saying that whites are not adequately represented at these top universities, which are called the breeding stables of America's leaders, is that they say, what are you complaining about? You've got 53% or over half of the positions. Well, when you back out the Jewish 33%, that leaves 20% as white Gentiles, and white Gentiles are over 60% of the population of the United States. So that means that white Gentiles are the least represented of any demographic category. Blacks are 13% of the population of the United States. They have 8% of the student slots at places like Harvard and Yale. So consequently, they're over half represented, 8% against 13%. Hispanics are 14% of the population. They're 7% of the student population in places like Harvard and Yale. So consequently, they have about 50%. But white Gentiles are 60% plus of the U.S. population, but they only have 20%, so we're underrepresented. We're only a third.
But you're probably thinking now we're bouncing around a little bit, but it's just to set the record straight on a couple of obvious. I don't guess we have to convince anybody listening to this show tonight that the media will lie to you. But we're setting the record straight on a couple of recent examples of this that have involved us. When we come back, though, we're going to get into Trump's base. Are you an angry voter? That's front page news here. We'll tell you right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. US.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Quick comment, and we're going to Kristen, Alaska. One more article that we'll pick from here that appeared. White nationalist radio show host James Edwards says he's backing Trump now. That's the headline. Edwards, quote, "Trump candidacy shows people agree with us on the issues. I'm in with Trump right now." That's the subheadline. During his August 22nd radio program, Edwards said he's buying into Trump's candidacy. He stated of Trump's campaign and supporters, quote, "Folks, these are our people. I've said for years, fundamentally, people agree with us on the issues that bring this show to life, and now we're seeing that in a very tangible way." Edwards added that while he doesn't agree with Trump on everything, "I'm in with Trump right now." And then this reporter actually went to the trouble of capturing a five-minute clip of me offering what I guess is supposed to be racist commentary on Trump's candidacy. It was from that August 22nd program. I posted the clip to our website earlier this week. I listened to that clip because this is supposed to be the worst of the worst of what I said, and it just look it was so good. You know, I listened to I very rarely listen to the show. I mean, we live it, but I listened to it, and I was thinking, my God, this show is good. I mean, we are good, and we are good at what we do. The commentary was so good it could be on Fox. You know, we really should have a Fox News show, so long as it wouldn't interfere with our work here on Liberty News. But and they also brought up the slavery quote again. We just explained that. But listen, folks, I'll tell you, I'm never going to run from anything I say. I'm never going to back down, never apologize. There's nothing to apologize for. Pat Buchanan wrote the exact same thing in his syndicated column. This is what Pat had to say, and then we're going to Chris. "America has been the best country on earth for black folks. It was here that 600,000 black people brought from Africa and slave ships grew into a community of 40 million, were introduced to Christian salvation, and reached the greatest levels of freedom and prosperity that they had ever known. No people anywhere has done more to lift up blacks than white Americans. Untold trillions have been spent since the 60s on welfare, food stamps, rent supplements, Section 8 housing, Pell Grants, student loans, legal services, Medicaid, earned income tax credits, and poverty programs designed to bring the African American community into the mainstream." So, yeah, I think we'll say it was the greatest thing that ever happened to him. Let's go to Chris. Chris, thanks for calling in and thanks for holding.
Thanks, James. I just wanted to bring up something to tie together Trump and this migrant crisis in Europe. And that is that whether it's illegal immigrants from Mexico or Arabs and blacks from Africa and the Middle East, they're all white supremacists. And they all want the same thing that Donald Trump wants. And that is to live in a secure, prosperous, law-abiding white society. Which is all I want. And
you're here.
And I think pretty much what the goal of the show is. And so instead of asking why all of these people have to flee their native country and their countrymen, and why they can't create that kind of environment in their own home place, in their own country, we are racist for saying, "I would like to keep my country the way they say they want it."
Chris, this is an excellent point. I'll let Keith answer it, but he's right on target, Keith. If America and the white nations of Europe are so evil and supremacist and hateful, well, it sure is attractive. Those qualities or those detriments surely are attractive to the people who want to come to those places.
Well, look, it's like I've always said, it's like the old parable of the dog and the flea. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. The problem is you can't have, as we've said many times in the past, a first world nation with a third world population. As you get more third worlders into a first world nation, and I don't care whether it was a white nation or, let's say, Japan or Korea or something like that, regardless of what first world nation it is, if you put enough third worlders in it, it will devolve into a third world enclave. What has happened to cities in America that have basically gotten too many third world people in them? places like Detroit, places like El Paso, Texas now, for example. All of these places have devolved. Places like Birmingham, Alabama, Gary, Indiana, Camden, New Jersey, Birmingham, Alabama. What you see is a decline in civility. You see a rise in violent crime, and you see a lowering of educational standards in the public schools. We don't want that to be America's future. We want to live in our own nation. We're more than glad to try to help people in foreign nations raise the standard of their civilization, but we don't want to sacrifice our society in a misbegotten effort to be charitable to others.
Why should we leverage our children's inheritance in an attempt to trade down? I mean, no decent person would do that to their future progeny.
And see, that's why Trump has tapped into the mother lode. People get it. The average American gets it. And they know that illegal immigration is going to have a profound negative impact and has already had a profound negative impact on America and our standard of living and our society.
Well,
yeah. And in fact, the Americans of different races, it's not just white people, Hispanic people that are here, black people that are here, they realize that illegal immigration or even third world immigration that's legal is going to have a detrimental effect, for example, on your standard of living. If you bring in people that will work for peanuts, it's hard to find a good job that will support a middle class lifestyle. Black people have found that out, for example, that when you have influx of people from the third world, in America it's basically Hispanics, it lowers the wages and makes it more difficult for somebody to find a job that will actually support a middle-class lifestyle.
Chris, a final word to you on that topic?
Well, James, I agree. And here's where the dishonesty and the other thing that Trump has done that I think is why his support has been so high is that everybody knows that the media is lying about this. And the fact is that the other candidates are irrelevant. Jeb Bush is a puppet of somebody in the media or some billionaire backer. And the fact that Trump is, A, using his own money and does not need the donor class, and B, shows the media the absolute contempt that they deserve, has the establishment running scared because he is showing that the agenda of the media is not to tell the truth, but to feather their own nests and to be on top in the coming multicultural Brazilification of America. They're not interested in telling the truth or being objective or honest about any of this stuff, which is why...
No, that what they are actually is this, Chris. This is Keith. The liberal elite, both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, are actually closet globalists who think that the nation state is outmoded. They don't like national boundaries or any other type of barrier to the free flow of goods or people. And like most globalists, what they are seeking ultimately is the equalization of incomes throughout the planet. If they are successful in that stated objective, imagine how far Americans and our incomes have to fall in order to make that a reality. People get it. Trump is not part of the conspiracy. Jeb Bush is, as much as Hillary Clinton is. They know what they've got in store and in tap. We know what the people at the Bilderberg Conference are doing. We know what the people are doing in all of these, you know, the Bohemian Grove and things like this. We know what they have in store for us instinctively if people don't know explicitly and precisely what is going on. And this open borders theory is not charitable. It's mendacious. It's intended to bring us down. And a real American would not want to see his fellow citizens abused and mistreated like this. And Trump is the only real American patriot that is running who is a in the major party primaries for the upcoming presidential election. People know this.
Talking about being owned, we just now have received a report that, and we don't know the credibility of this source, but it is from a published article, but it reports that the GOP is considering giving Fox $30 million in advance plus $1 million per week to skew its coverage of Trump to the negative. You know, so if that's true, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Well, you know what they have done? They have made Trump say that he will not run as a third-party candidate. That's a precondition getting into some of these primaries. So they're setting him up for this. Basically, what they're doing is they want to torpedo him, but they don't want him to have the option of running as a third-party candidate.
Well, we got to take a break. Thank you for the call, Chris. We're going to cover this more in the second hour. Are you an angry voter? The only angry voters must be Trump voters. We'll talk about the second hour. Scoop Stanton up next.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're going to Scoop Stanton, and he's going to be talking about the latest in the war on cops. Pat Buchanan, in his most recent column, asks, do cops' lives matter to Obama? Buchanan starts his column, which will be posted to our website next week. Be sure to check it out. Barack Obama, as chief law enforcement officer of the United States, is going to have to stop acting like a conscientious objector in this war on cops. Wednesday afternoon, another officer in Fox Lake, Illinois, was gunned down. Last Friday, Darren Goforth, A Houston deputy sheriff was shot 15 times by an alleged black racist. Buchanan continues, President Obama called the widow of Deputy Goforth, but he has yet to show the same indignation and outrage he exhibited at what happened to Trayvon Martin in Florida and Michael Brown in Ferguson. This year, 24 cops have been gunned down. And the day after Deputy Goforth's execution, Black Lives Matter showed up at the Minnesota State Fair chanting, "Pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon." Scoop, over to you.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Cesspool family. We first want to remember Lieutenant Joe Glinowitz of the Fox Lake Police Department in Fox Lake, Illinois. We also want to remember Abilene, Texas, police officer Don Allen, who was murdered in his own home off duty. It's alleged that the two suspects that were arrested wrote some anti-police statements on Officer Allen's body. Anyways, folks, the war on police is real. Three cops killed in a week. Now, the media is slowly but surely talking about the war on police. You got Fox News, you have Michael Savage, and you have Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, who's never afraid to get in front of a camera. However, one news source talked about this 10 months ago. I'm talking about the political cesspool. If you go to the archives on December the 20th, 2014, and December the 27th, 2014, you hear myself, Keith, James, and the great Sean Bergen talk about the war on cops. Now, there's another assault on police that happened in Madison, Wisconsin. Two females, I use the term loosely, were fighting. A Madison police officer saw what was going on and was going to break up the fight. As somebody saw the officer about to do what he needs to do in terms of break up the assault battery in progress, the individual pulled out some pepper spray. And the officer, fearing for his safety, was about to draw his weapon, and a near riot almost occurred in Madison, Wisconsin. Folks, we can't let this happen. But it's happening time and time and time again. My good friend and reporter Charlie Duff said to me, "Well, do something about it." When I complained about the problem with the Virginia ABC officers and the drunk college student. Well, folks, we are doing something. Yours truly has designed a T-shirt for to support law enforcement and to say stop the cop killings. It's a plain T-shirt with seven words on it that says, "Stop the cop killing, support the police." Folks, if you go to booster.com/stop-the-cop-killings, you can see this wonderful T-shirt that yours truly designed. We're selling for $25, $5 shipping and handling. And if we make any money off this, it's going to go towards the political cesspool. So we need to sell 25 shirts to at least have them printed up so it's the company's makes a little bit of money. But again, we want to put these T-shirts out, not to make some money, not to put some our name out there. Even on the back, it says hashtag Blue Lives Matters and thepoliticalcesspool.org. Because if you live in Washington, D.C., New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and you wear one of these shirts, people would lose their mind. But it's a great statement, and I say go ahead, spend some $25, $30. You'll be helping the political cesspool. You'll be spreading the word that you're sick and tired of the assault on the police. James, back to you.
Thank you so much, Scoop. Before I toss it to Keith, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your efforts on behalf of certainly this program, but the issues that bring you to the airwaves each week, the issues that you cover in your segment. This is a guy, like all of us here that make up the staff of this show, that doesn't just talk it on the radio. We live it and we breathe it and we find ways to advance our heartfelt ideas in addition to what we're able to do here on the program, Keith.
Let me just say this. I think that Pat Buchanan has sugarcoated it too much. President Barack Obama is not merely a conscientious objector in the war against the police. He's complicit in it, in the war against police. He's supporting it either directly or by neglecting his duty. For example, Darren Goforth, the police deputy sheriff who was gunned down while he was putting gas into his police cruiser, shot in the back of the head, and then the black perp emptied his gun, 15 shots total, into the lifeless body of Darren Goforth. He's been captured. He didn't commit suicide like Vester Lee Flanagan. The question is, why isn't that shooter being prosecuted under the federal hate crimes law? The silence is deafening from the Obama Justice Department, headed by now Loretta Lynch, or from President Obama. If that is not a hate crime, and just look at it, too. All of these policemen that are being killed in Abilene and elsewhere, and in Illinois and in Houston, Texas, are white men. Now, why is that not being discussed? And the perps are always non-white.
Well, that's right, Keith. And Scoop hit the nail on the head. And I don't think we've said it as succinctly and as directly as he did in his commentary a moment ago, but he's exactly right. The political cesspool was the first out of the media that I know of,
out of the box,
that was talking about the war on cops and the coming war on cops. As Scoop mentioned, you can go back to our archives and hear us talking about it as early as last December. Now, Bill O'Reilly did come out on his program, The O'Reilly Factor, this week and say that, in his opinion, Black Lives Matter is a hate group. And it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the hate watchers themselves, here on the hate watch list, you can find the American
Family Research Council,
American Family Union,
James Dobson's Focus on the Family.
Obviously, we're on there. Chuck Baldwin, the Singing Nuns of Spokane. But yet, here's Black Lives Matter actually going out. You know, what is that? You could honestly argue that they are a terrorist group. This goes beyond ideology. They are actually committing atrocities, murders, riots, so on and so forth.
And again, the silence is deafening. Why aren't they on the hate?
They're not on the list. They are not.
They're not on the hate watch list, and they're much more hateful, much more violent than any group that I can imagine on the right.
Well, that's absolutely correct, Keith. And it just goes to show that, obviously, it's because that organization is an anti-white organization.
They're not a hate watch, they're a right watch.
It would contradict their narrative. But Scoop, you're right. We talked about it first, and I would like to know, it doesn't matter, because as long as good work is getting done, who cares where the credit goes? I would be curious to know, though, at the end of it all, how much of the coverage was driven by what this network has done in terms of getting it out there that, hey, this is going on. Because we know for a fact, folks, we proved it again tonight. We know for a fact that the media listens to this show as much as any one of our fans. We're in the news every week. They're listening to what we say.
We plant the seeds and they take the harvest.
Well, and that's fine. But Scoop, back over to you.
Well, again, unfortunately, this is something we don't want to talk about. You know, cops' lives do matter. Because time and time again, when you're in trouble, you're going to pick the phone and dial 911, either a bunch of men and women on a red fire truck or a man and woman in a police car is going to come to your house. Not Black Lives Matter.
The only thing that separates us from anarchy is the so-called thin blue line, and that's what Scoop is talking about. The thin blue line of the police is the most, is the last of protector of our civilization.
Go, Scoop.
Right, and these people put their lives on the line. And now, I don't see the Department of Homeland Security or Big Sister or anybody else investigating Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you want to think about it, the police officers out there work for the government. So these people are saying kill government workers. And believe me, government workers love nothing more than other government workers. So, again, this is something that we're going to still talk about, even though everybody's a giant clown lately, and we're going to put down Black Lives Matter, even if it kills us. And we will support the police,
if we're the last people doing it.
Right. Until the people from Black Lives Matter either get a job or go to jail, because they need to go to jail. And we, the American people, have to tell Black Lives Matter, mainstream media, go right to hell, because we support our cops. And that's why I'm telling everybody, go to the website I mentioned, booster.com, stop those cop killings, look at our shirts, please buy a shirt, and then just wear it in some left-o-pinko, commie, America-hating neighborhood, and then watch people just lose their mind.
Well, Scoop, and you know, we had a cop here in Memphis last month get gunned down by a career criminal, a felon, a guy who had just got out of jail for having robbed a bank. You know, he'd served a few years in jail, then he was out on the streets again, immediately shoots and kills a police officer right here in Memphis. And this war on cops, you know, the Black Lives Matter people, these blacks murdering cops, you know, this is something that's spiking. You know, this is something that is trending upwards, and that's just very concerning.
Not only that, violence in majority black cities throughout the nation, particularly in the North, have experienced an incredible uptick lately.
It'll continue because this is only going to discourage police officers from going in these neighborhoods. We've already seen, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Officer in Birmingham, Alabama gets pistol whipped. He gets knocked unconscious because he didn't want to take action because the guy was a black. He was scared he was going to lose his job. Thank you, Scoop. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the Democrats have officially supported what we're going to call a terrorist group in their platform. Stay tuned.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.